Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
All right, let's turn to our Bibles tonight, John chapter 6. Actually, let's start somewhere else first. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Keep your Bibles open because we're going to start in this verse of Scripture. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 is our text. We'll take our text from here. We'll talk about it just briefly. And then we're going to go to five other verses of Scripture, and we're going to see this text applied in your Bible. Zechariah, second to the last book in the Old Testament, right before the book of Malachi, right after the book of Genesis. You'll find it eventually. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. If you see me holding my arm, I am. I typed a lot this afternoon. And anyway, where's the sling? Amen? All right. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet of the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, eventually what's going to happen is God's going to rebuild Jerusalem, and he's going to rebuild the temple. He is going to build it out of a remnant, my friends. There aren't going to be many Jews left here in the earth. There'll be enough Jews left in the earth so that every tribe will populate, certainly. But there won't be the millions that there are today. There's going to be a remnant that's small. And so he says here, who hath despised the day of small things? You know, people have a tendency to despise small things. You go out there and they're doing the Olympics right now. People don't care who came in fourth or 16th or any of that kind of thing. But you don't know the story behind the person that does that. And he and his family may, or she and her family may know something about that accomplishment, and it may be a big deal to them, but everybody just wants to know who got the gold, who got the silver, who got the bronze. And so they have a tendency to despise those who come in the unknown, unnamed, unhonored classes and places in those races. And so you have a tendency to despise those things. And, you know, that's how society is. It's just building on the great. We need to be careful with that in Christianity. You might say to yourself, boy, I sure would like to accomplish big things for God. You need to be careful with ambition in that arena. Because the little thing you do for God may be the very thing that he wanted you to do, and if you were all the time frustrated because you wanted to do something bigger than that, you may find that you are miserable and discouraged and quit before you ever get anything done. I don't despise nursery workers. And to people that get back there, they may look at that and go, man, this is a little bitty thing. It's huge if you get into a big place in a message and the sound of an infant goes off. Every mother's heart is going to be pulled to that and right out of the message. It's not a small thing when you have the baby in good shape, the diaper's clean and all that, and the mother comes back who's a visitor and receives a child that's content and fed according to the instructions she gave, changed and pampered. She's going to say, you know what, that's a big deal. She may be more impressed with that than she was with the preaching. I'm serious. When they're checking out a church for the first or 16th time, they may be more interested in how well you're taking care of their kids. So who hath despised the day of small things? With that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer and look at some things that the Lord does not despise, even though they're small. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. This is a great work here, the preaching of the Word of God, and we ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, to help us understand this, because it's a great encouragement to us when we get a little bit discouraged about some of the small things we seem to be trying to accomplish in life. And we ask you to please help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. With this text, you don't need to turn back to it because you're going to remember it. Who hath despised the day of small things? Zechariah 4:10. Let's go to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, you're going to read about a particular thing that takes place. I believe it's recorded in every gospel. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Now, when you read about this in the other chapters, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you don't read where they got the five loaves and the two fishes. But in John, you find out where they got those from. And in John chapter 6, you know the story so well, we only need to read one verse, okay? verse 5, 8 starts it. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? All right? So there's a little kid, unnamed, mentioned in one of the 4 episodes that this is recorded. And all he's got is 5 little barley loaves and 2 fishes, and you can make that just as small as you want. You can make those fish sardines if you want to, and you can make the barley loaves little things, or you can make them great big like a big old loaf of bread if you want, and 2 redfish. It isn't enough to feed 5,000 men and their wives and children. Doesn't make any difference. It's small. It's little. There's not much to it. God doesn't even give you the name of the kid. That's how small this deal is. And, you know, you can develop the story. It was a little sack lunch and the whole thing, all that you want to do. That's not a big deal that that kid does. The big deal is what Jesus Christ did with the small thing he had. That's what everybody remembers. Because how many ever people that represent that 5,000 men beside their wives and children, that's a whole bunch of folks. And the Lord blesses those things and breaks those things and gives them out to the disciples. There's not enough to give to the disciples, much less to all the people they have to feed. It's a little bitty deal. It's very insignificant. He's an insignificant person. But I'm going to tell you something. The small things you do are not despised when they're not withheld. What makes this such an important story in that young man's life is he gave the little bit that he had. If he'd have held on to those and said, well, they're not going to do any good in his hands, so I might as well hold on to these and just kind of go over here and chop, chop, yummy, yummy like that and say, you know, you fools should have brought your own lunches. You know, that in itself would have been a story. We've all been like that. But that little, you know, 5 bucks worth of an offering he had there became big because he didn't hold on to it. Now, in your life, you're gonna be confronted with things that you have in your possession that the Lord is going to want. And you're going to think, what difference is this going to make? It's not that big. But remember, it's not the size of that thing you have to give him. It's the size of the God to whom you give it. And that's why it's not despised, because you're doing it for him, not for yourself. This boy did not get recognition. Or, I mean, he got credit, but you won't know what that's going to be like for a long time to come. And the neat thing about it is, he was fed in the process. He got to eat from the... Listen, was not everybody filled? So if the 5 loaves that he had and the 2 fishes were enough to fill him by giving those things away, and everybody else got some, he was filled as well, no matter whether he ate more than what he had or the same amount or even less. So don't beat yourself up when you think about the size of things that are going on now. We got big Bible project going on, a building going on here, all that kind of stuff. You say, well, the little bit that I have, what difference is that going to make? Remember, it's not the size of what you have that seems so insignificant to you. It's the size of the God to whom you give it, and he doesn't despise it. Amen. All right, turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And in Mark chapter 14, look with me in verse 3, another very, very, very famous passage, and also one recorded in all the Gospels. Verse 3, Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her, or of her. That's not a big deal. Now, somebody said, well, it was worth a lot of money, and it was. It could have been sold for 300 pence. To put it in perspective, you just read about the feeding of the 5,000, and the Lord had asked Philip, about feeding them, and he said 200 penny worth, you know, wouldn't be sufficient for them to be filled, but it might give some all something to eat. All right, 300 pence would have sufficiently fed all those people. That's a lot. That's a quite a bit of money. But the thing that she did was insignificant. If you think about it, this is right before Gethsemane. This is before the Lord's Supper. This is before the trial. This is before the crucifixion. Those are big deals. As a matter of course, they weren't going to have time to anoint his body for the burial, so the Lord led her. She goes over there and says, well, let's just take care of this now, because there won't be time later. Well, you might ask yourself a question, is anointing the body before the burial really that big a deal? The women made up a bunch of spices, and we're going to come over there on the first day of the week and take care of that. You know something? The Lord did not despise this like the disciples did. You know why? Because he doesn't despise small things when they're all you can do. God does not despise small things when they're all that you can do. Look what he said in verse 8. She hath done what she could. I remember when we went off to Bible college, I've got the same lecture every September. Some of you guys are A students, and you're going to make A minuses. And some of you guys are C students, and you're going to make C pluses. And I'm going to tell you that the fellow who makes a C plus when he's a C student has done better than an A student that gets an A minus, even though his grade is 2 points higher than the other one. You know why? Because he did what he could, and you didn't do as well as you could have. And God doesn't despise your effort, no matter how feeble it may seem to you or anybody else that sees it, when it's all you can do. And truly, if you look around this room, some of us can do more than others. You give me a ball of wire and some conduit and some juice, and I will kill myself. Put it in Roger's hands, and you're going to power up something useful, right? What we can do with that is drastically different. Now, where's a good application on this? If I took that wire and that conduit and I did something useful out of that that really wasn't intended to do, but that's all that I could do with it, you know something? The Lord wouldn't despise it. You know why? It's all I could do. It's all I could do. And so don't look around here. Paul said, they're not wise that compare them. That comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. Sometimes you have a tendency to beat yourself up a little bit because you look over there and say, well, oh, so-and-so did that so much better than me. You need to quit that. If you've done all you can do and you did it for the Lord, you know something? God likes it. He doesn't despise it. So don't beat yourself up about it either. Some of you are better Sunday school teachers than others. Some of you are better Sunday school workers than others. Some of you are better at preaching than others. Some of you are better at music than others. You know what? Go find the thing you can do and go do that. It's all you got to do. And he'll love you for it. I know I appreciate it. It's a big old body and we all got to do something. And somebody's got to be the belly button. I like my belly button. I don't know about you. All right? Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and look at verse 41. Another very famous story, but a very small and insignificant thing. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. Well, it's one thing to be a widow, isn't it? It's another thing to be a poor widow. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Well, if you study all that out, that's enough to buy two sparrows, so it's not very much. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more, or cast more in, than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Let me ask you a question. How much faith do you think it took her to put that 2 mites in there? That took a lot of faith, man. That's all she's got left. We talk about rubbing 2 nickels together. That's all she had left. And she throws that in there, and she walks away expecting fully and rightfully so that as a poor widow, somehow or another, she's still going to be able to eat because she gave that stuff to the Lord. You know something? The Lord is the only one who would have recognized the offering that she made that day, because nobody, as soon as they see that poor widow coming in, heading up toward the treasury, they're not even going to look at her because they know she hadn't anything to offer. They're going to be watching those guys in the regal stuff. And, you know, I don't know how you know it goes, but in our church here, the baskets are passed. They come back up here. Nobody knows what anybody else gave. It's just all in there. But if you go to a black church, for instance, they actually parade you up to the front. When you make an offer, they play a little deal like that, and they start out here. Everybody comes up there and makes a big old deal. And the pastor, there's the deacon on either side of the plate in the churches I've been in. Pastor's looking right there, and if anything big hits the plate, they pull it out. He opens it up if it's a check, and he announces to the people, so-and-so gave such and such amount of money. So do you think he's going to be all concerned that some little kid goes in there and throws a quarter in that deal? He's not going to pull that quarter out of here. I want everybody to know little Johnny gave that quarter. He's not going to do that. He's waiting for the big bucks to show up. Now, they don't all do that, but I've been to some, and they've done it in more than one church. You know, you have to go have a consultation with the pastor before the offering and say, look, dude, if you say anything about what goes in that offering that has my name on it, I'm going to stop the check before it gets to the bank. they keep quiet then. So that's just a small little thing. But you know something? The Lord does not despise that. Those small things that you do for him, like that widow, when they're done in faith. She had to trust him. She had to trust me. You and I can sit down and come up with a budget, and we can see the money we anticipate coming in and the money we anticipate going out. We can figure out how much that we can give to the Lord and make it work. Doesn't take much faith to do that. It just takes a real good adherence to your budget. What takes a lot of faith is to break the budget and stick it in there because you feel like that's what God wants you to do, and then trust him for the difference. That's a stretch. But you know something? You may say, that's not very much, but listen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Don't think that the Lord despises the little bit that you do for him when you've done it in faith. He's pleased with that. And I'll tell you what, it took more faith for her to do what she did than it took for anybody else to put what they put in that treasury that day. And that's why he caught on to it. That's why he said something about it. You know, the Bible says whatsoever is not done in faith, or whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So take the heat off of yourself. Take the pressure off of yourself. Just get in there like the disciples did with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, increase our faith. I want to do something that pleases you. It doesn't have to be something that's in a big way. It just has to be something that you and I know was done in faith. I want you to be pleased. And he won't despise that, whether anybody else in the room ever notices. Doesn't make a difference. All that matters is that you did it for him and you did it in faith. And he won't despise it. Who hath despised the day of small things? Not the Lord. Not when what you do, you do and don't withhold. Not when what you do when you've done all you can do. Not when what you do is done in faith. He won't despise it. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? Not the Lord. Here's Philip and these guys down there in Samaria, and look in verse 25 of Acts chapter 8. Another famous story. Acts chapter 8, verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I'm telling you what, man, they had a real full-scale revival going on. It was a big deal. Now, the old-timers used to say whenever there was a protracted meeting, you've heard me use that word before. Protracted meeting means the evangelist shows up and he has no intention of leaving until the Holy Spirit is finished working in the area. He doesn't know how long he's going to stay. And he starts preaching, the Holy Spirit is moving, people are starting to get saved, a revival breaks out, he'll stay till the Holy Spirit is done, and then he'll move on to the next deal. That's what they had going on in Samaria. There were a lot of souls being saved. All right, so in verse 26, the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And he goes on reading Isaiah 53, that we call 53 now. And Philip picks up there and preaches Jesus to him. The guy gets saved, he baptizes him, the Spirit of God catches Philip away, and the guy goes cruising on down to Ethiopia. One soul. And Philip didn't even stick around for the offering. Don't you know if that was a modern-day evangelist, he'd stay with that guy all the way down to Ethiopia, find out his bank account number, get to be good buddies with him, get him signed up as one of the prayer partners, one of the listener supporters of his ministry. And Philip would change his whole deal and find some great ministry to do down in Ethiopia with Candace, the queen's treasurer, supporting him. That's the way it'd be done today, isn't it? And everybody would say, oh, that Ethiopian eunuch, he's a big shot, man. We're going to pray for that dude. The Spirit got him out of there before he could even talk about money. And the Ethiopian eunuch goes on down there and gets some things going down in Ethiopia. Who knows how the Holy Spirit uses all that? You say, well, why would the Holy Spirit take a man like Philip, who was an evangelist, and move him down there for that one soul? That's just one soul. That's so insignificant compared to this great revival that was going on in Samaria. That's such a small thing. But you know something? God doesn't despise small things when they're done for a soul. You know, you may look at that and say, boy, I sure would like to get an opening with my neighbor. And so you make him a pie and give it over there. And you think, you know, that really wasn't much. I'm kicking myself around the block. I should have witnessed to the guy. It's a big deal. God doesn't despise that. Listen, you know, every story that I got to hear from the Muldoons this weekend, obviously there was no time to tell most of that. Just you heard a little bit today. But when he was pastoring up there in Wyoming, there was a rancher that they couldn't reach. And this guy had a huge spread, 25 square miles. That's big. Of course, you know, you raise 100 cows on it. That's out west. That guy was having a cattle roundup. And so Muldoon went over there and he said to him, he said, listen, you know, I can't outperform your cowboys that are roping and branding on, castrating, doing all that stuff out there with these cattle. But he said, I know the medicine. I know how to take care of all that. He said, I can get them in the chute. I can vaccinate them. I can help you if you need. He said, you know what? I'm a hand short today. You just take that and run with it. That'd be great. I'd be great for you to do that. And so he went over there and he helped that guy. All day long, working out there in that hot, dirty, dusty sun, vaccinating his cattle and running the chutes. That next Sunday, that cowboy was in church. And after the church, that cowboy came up to him, just a real nice Western U.S., Wyoming kind of cowboy, and he said, you know something, preacher? He said, I don't believe a thing you said. Not one thing. And he left. He said, well, I had my shot. At least I got him in the door. The guy was back next Sunday. And the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, for 5 years, that cowboy kept coming. And he'd tell him for a time, he said, I don't believe the thing you say. He said, why do you keep coming then? He said, I don't believe anything you say, but I believe you believe what you say. And that's why I come. 3 years later, he's off at another church, and he gets a telephone call from one of the deacons back there. He said, the cowboy got saved. You know what opened that door? Vaccinating cattle one day. Seemed like such a small thing. You know, he was beating himself up when he got home because he didn't give the guy the gospel before he left. But he didn't have to do that. Because that was something small that he did for the sake of a soul, and God blessed it. You see that? God doesn't, you don't have to, it doesn't always have to go from A to Z on the gospel every time. You don't have to pin them down on the carpet and make it all happen. You do something to show somebody else that you believe what you believe, and that may be just enough to convince them that they ought to believe it one day. God doesn't despise that, so don't you despise it. And don't despise yourself because you didn't do more than you thought you should have done that day. If you did it for the sake of the soul, you've done enough. And God's happy with that. Look over here in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. He said, "Preacher, I know my Bible, and there are a lot of small things in there. How long can you keep this going?" Well, not very long. This will be the last one. Luke chapter 7. Another very, very famous story. Who hath despised the day of small things? Not the Lord. Not when your small things are done and not withheld. Not when they're all you can do and they're done in faith and they're done for souls. And look at this. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, so it's not out loud, he's going over it in his mind, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. She's a sinner." Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." He said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth the little." And he saith unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." It's just a little deal. It really wasn't that big a deal. It just happened to be one day in the life of Jesus Christ, and a very thankful sinner had come up to wash his feet with her tears, couldn't contain herself, wiped the tears with her hair, and anointed him. Not really that big a deal to us. As a matter of fact, if we'd have been living at that time, we'd seen that thing, we may have had the same impression that Simon did. Look at that woman. That's disgusting. Coming up there, that dirty, nasty stuff in her hair now and doing all that. What's she trying to prove anyway? And we may have despised it just like Simon did. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you're going to do something that other people might find despicable and might despise you, or you might even think to despise yourself over them. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord won't despise those things when they're in done in love for Jesus. Because however it is that you want to express your love to Jesus may not be the way somebody else would want to express their love for Jesus Christ. But if that's the way you feel led to express your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, it may not seem like a big enough deal to anybody else. But I promise you, God will not despise it. Because He likes to be loved. He likes to be loved. And you know what? There's a great benefit in loving him like that. He likes to be appreciated. He said to her, "She loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." He said, "She loved much. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up about that. You keep hearing about that from time to time, stuff we did in the past. Why don't you just love him more? You'll know those things are forgiven. You'll know it. Just love him. Show it to him any way you want, and I'll tell you, if it's small, nobody else would recognize it. Even your family might kind of scoff you a little bit. If you're doing it out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, all you need to do. He won't despise that. Small things are good. They say the most precious gifts come in small packages. We ought to practice that, shouldn't we? Let's pray. Father, we're sure thankful tonight to be able to look in the Bible and see these things. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us not to despise small things, since you don't, and help us to remember these five things we've seen and put those into practice in our lives. Do things for you out of faith and out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we look forward to doing things that please you. Help this congregation. Help me. Help us together, Father. We're not a big church, but the little things that we want to do for you, Father, we pray that you will accept. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.